good to see you. Michael works for Michael Estabile, and then we got Mike Franklin up there. He's our fire department. Works locally here in this area, and I pray for you regularly so to keep you safe. And so thankful for all that you do there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Brother Estabile, how's baby Sean doing? Doing good? All right, good. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I want to read just a couple verses here. I want to get into the Bible and get us out here before the heat gets us. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting off in verse number 6. The Bible says, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, though through the abundance of revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." What a powerful, powerful few verses here. When I am weak, then I am strong. Paul struggled with this church of Corinth. In fact, we were in Corinthians chapter 1 last week. Paul struggled with trying to help this church. And one of the difficulties that he had with them is that there were people that were discrediting him. You ever had someone discredit you? You ever had someone undermine who you are? Or maybe make you feel like you're not as good as you know you are to be? Paul had to deal with that. That's a difficulty, because it's a battle. It's a struggle. Understand, Paul was an amazing man. God gave Paul a specific task of bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. And you understand, had it not been for Paul's missionary journeys, probably the West would not have the gospel the way it does today. God mightily used Paul as he began to move out west and start churches over through Asia Minor, and those churches began to spread deep into Europe. But you know, in all that God gave him through revelations and his apostleship and the great work that he did, you understand that something else was given to him? A thorn in the flesh, the Bible says. And in this thorn of the flesh, it hindered him from doing some things. But that thorn in the flesh was the one thing that made him fit perfectly in the hand of God. So today my message, and if you would be kind to give me 15 minutes here, my message is God's perfect fit. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, I love you. Help me to preach the Word of God in a way that would help us this morning. Lord, remove anything out of my life that would hinder this message from getting across to the hearts of your people. And Lord, may it not just be a message preached, but Lord, may it be a message received right here. Lord, I love you so much. Thank you for this time in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul, in his work, in his will to see the gospel spread to the West, and into the Gentile nations. Paul, the Bible says, was given what we see here in verse number seven. He says, there was given to me, right in the middle of the verse, a thorn in the flesh. And so often we attribute the thorn in the flesh, God, we say God gave him the thorn in the flesh. However, God didn't necessarily give him the thorn in the flesh, but God allowed him to have that thorn in the flesh. The Bible says that a messenger from Satan brought it to him. And here's just an aside. You understand, Satan is not equal with God. Satan is simply a tool. That's all he is. We picture God and we see Satan together and we say, no, it's an eternal struggle between God and Satan. And it's so close. Let me tell you, it's not close at all. The battle is over. The victory is won. However, Satan does try to hinder us. Satan tries to get us, make us feel like we are defeated. If you're saved here and you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you know for sure that if you died today that you'd be on your way to heaven and not directed toward eternal hell, let me tell you something. You've got victory. You've got a victory that can never be taken away from you. The Bible says that we gain eternal life. You know the amazing thing about eternal life? It's forever. It's forever. However, sometimes we lose sight of that. And Satan and the world, the flesh, and the devil sometimes put something in our life that causes us to get distracted. That cause us to feel hindered. That cause us to focus more on the problem than on the one who can provide for us. Three things that thorns do for us, really briefly. Verse number seven, he says here in verse, at the top of the verse, he says, "And lest I should be exalted," if I can get some help in the back, "lest I should be exalted," he says, "above measure through the abundance of revelations." We see Paul had been given an abundance of revelations concerning the church. And he says, "unless I be exalted or feel myself to be proud in any manner," he says this, "there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." The first thing that it does is it keeps us humble. Thorns keep us humble. Some of you are battling a thorn today, and maybe it's not a thorn in the flesh, but maybe it's someone else's. Maybe you're battling something, maybe not a thorn in the flesh, but maybe a thorn in your pocketbook. Maybe you're battling a thorn in your emotions, or maybe in your mind that you just can't get over certain thoughts, and you just can't get by them. Those thorns are meant to humble us. Because God resisteth the proud, but he giveth more grace to the humble. So thorns humble us. The second thing thorns do is they cause us to pray. Look at verse number 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord," how many times? Thrice. That's the old English word. The old English word for thrice means what? Three. Now, three is a number of completion. So I think there was three specific areas of his life where he tried to do something and that thorn of the flesh hindered him, to the point where he got depressed and down and beat himself up about it. And I think those are three times. However, I don't think he only prayed three times about it. I think there were three low points for him. Your problems in your life, those thorns that have been put in your life, they're there to get you to go to God. Because when we realize that God can take care of our needs, we become stronger Christians. Jesse Ventura. He was the governor of, I want to say, Minnesota. And is it Michigan? Minnesota. He's the governor of Minnesota there. And he was quoted on saying that Christianity is simply a crutch. It's just a crutch for weak-minded people. You know what I have to say about that? You're absolutely right. Although it's not a crutch, Mr. Ventura, it's a wheelchair, because I am weak in all areas of my life. I have shortcomings. I was born with shortcomings. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have our shortcomings. And had it not been for Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, I'd always fail. But having these shortcomings, I realized that if I go to God, He'll make up the difference. So thorns humble us. They cause us to pray. But also, thorns give us a reality of God. Thorns give us the reality of God. Look at verse number 9. What are those first three words in verse number 9? Let's say them. Here we go. He said, and he said. Here we go. Let's try that all together. Here we go. And he said. Who's he? Who's he in that verse? That's God. And he said unto me. Here's a realization that God is real. You know, if we went about our life worry-free, problem-free, thorn-free, we would be less inclined to go to God because we think we can handle everything. But let me tell you something. Even the perfect people in the Garden of Eden still fell short without God. We are in need. And when we go to Him, and when we have these troubles, we get to know Him on a new level. That's why Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And then he says this, and the fellowship of His suffering. In those hard times, the midnight hour, where things are difficult and you're not quite sure how you're going to get through it, the fellowship of His sufferings, understanding that you and Him are in the battle together, you're in the trenches together, and He will take care of you. He's got your back. He'll make up your difference. Let me tell you something. He becomes very real. I can go through stories and stories where I felt like I was brought to the brink of my strength, and at that moment, I never felt stronger. I remember in Bible college praying, and I told the story with a few of my college roommates, and praying that God would just use me in the ministry, and literally feeling the power of the Holy Spirit on my life. And He became so real. Paul said, let me tell you, it was because of this thorn of the flesh that He said to me. He spoke to me. He was real. Now, in that sweet reality of understanding that God is real, we get to see how He fits in our life. First and foremost, I need to hurry. First and foremost, we see here in verse number 9, he says, He said unto me, my grace is, and what's that next word? Sufficient. Sufficient. Interesting word, sufficient. Sufficient doesn't mean abounding. It doesn't mean that it's overflowing. You know what sufficiency means? You got what you need. In fact, I'd like to say that how He fits in our life is practical. Very practical. Oftentimes when we think about the power of God in our life, you know what we think about? We think Moses in the Red Sea, and he stands before there, and he holds up his rod, and all of a sudden the waters roll apart. We think of Elijah there on Mount Carmel as he causes down fire to come down and lick the water off the altar and burn the sacrifice there. We think of Daniel in the lion's den as God is able to shut the mouths of those lions. But let me tell you something. They wouldn't have gotten to that point had God not taken care of them step by step. Day by day. Had God not taken care of him while he was on the backside of the wilderness, being a shepherd for his father-in-law. Had God not taken care of Elijah when he was there by the brook Cherith, being fed scraps from the birds. Had God not taken care of Daniel back when he was just a young boy in captivity, when he said, I purposed in my heart that I would not defile myself with the king's meat. You see, it was the little stuff. It was the sufficiency of grace. It was the day in, day out, God moving and God helping and his hand providing that led them to an opportunity where God does the miraculous. How does God fit practically? The Bible says in Psalm 68, he says this, blessed be the Lord who daily, and here's the word, I like it, loadeth us with benefits. Daily loadeth us with benefits. You know what loadeth means? It's one of my favorite terms. If I'm getting, if I'm there at a restaurant, And they're about to bring me some food. You know what? I want them to load me up. I don't want the little portions. I want to be loaded up. I want to know I'm getting bang for my buck. I'm getting that plate's full. I don't want to see the white plate, the decorations on the plate. I want to see the food on that plate. And he says, God loadeth us daily with his benefits. This morning when you woke up, no matter what situation you're in, you woke up in the United States of America, a free country. Not only that, but you woke up in a house, in a bed. You woke up and many of you got in a car to get here on a beautiful, sunny California day. I dare say none of us wondered, oh, am I going to be able to eat dinner today? God had loaded us up with many blessings just today. My grace is sufficient. It's practical. Not only is his grace practical, but look what he says here. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made, what is that next word? Perfect. Perfect. That's an amazing word. Now, this word means complete. Completed. This word means completed. It's as if I can do the little that I can do, and God says, I'll take care of the rest. I'll do the rest for you. I'll fill in the gaps. It's like that boy who he was trying to hit the ball. He was trying to play baseball, and every time he would swing, he missed the ball. He just missed the ball every time, and he's trying to, and he can't do it. And all of a sudden, his dad comes, and the dad's hands wrap over his son's hand. And sure, his son's holding on to the bat. His dad's doing all the work. And as that ball comes, his dad is the one that brings up his leg, and his dad is the one that puts the strength in the bat. And as that ball comes, it's his dad that swings the bat and it's his dad that hits the ball, but his son's right there. And he hits the ball, and his dad, the boy looks at his dad and goes, "Dad, I did it!" And he goes, "Yes, you did." That's perfect strength. That's the perfect strength. Parents, sometimes we're like that boy with the bat. We're trying to do what we can for our children. We're trying. Swing and a miss. Swing and a miss. What we need is God's hand. Hey, we're trying to do it with our finances. We're trying to take care of our workload. We're trying to take care of this thing and this thing. And oh, it's all stacking up on us. And we're so overwhelmed. What we need is his strength to be perfect. And when it comes our way, have him do all the work. Hey, you know what Paul was? Paul was that little boy. Everyone sees Paul. You know what they saw? Man, he's got all these revelations. He started these churches. He's the great apostle. But you know what he was? Just a little boy swinging the bat until God grabbed him and made his strength perfect. Kind of reminds me of Moses as he's standing there in the burning bush, and God is saying, I'm going to send you to the children of Israel, and I want you to bring them out of Egypt. And what does Moses do? I can't do it. I've got a stuttering problem. I can't do it. Who am I going to say has sent me? I can't do it. And he's giving excuse after excuse after excuse, and finally God says, I am. One of my favorite parts of the Bible. I am. We know what that means, right? I am what you need. You're feeling weak? I'll be strong. You're feeling sad? I'll be your encouragement. You're in need of support? I'll lift you up. You need growth, I'll build you up. I am that I am. His strength is perfect. Last, not only is it practical, every day, just every day being sufficient, his grace being sufficient. Not only is it perfect where it fills the gaps in it, and it takes care of our needs, but also he says this, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. And by the way, when he says I glory in my infirmities, he's not saying I'm so happy I'm hurting. I'm so happy I've got this thorn. That's not what he's saying. He's saying I glory because of God in my infirmities. But he says this, that the power of Christ may rest upon you. The last thing that we see how God fits with us is the fact that when I am at my weakest, he's at his most powerful. I've tried to do the whole bat thing with my daughter. I'd say, all right, Chloe, here, let me help you out. And I try to do that. But you know what she does? She'll swing ahead of me. No, Chloe, we'll just wait. She'll swing ahead of me. Chloe, just wait. And so when she's in her power, nothing gets done. But the moment I completely allow her to get weak, and she doesn't try to resist my hands, it's at that moment I can truly help her. And he says, when you get weak, when you allow yourself to be weak, Paul could have taken that thorn in the flesh and said, it doesn't bother me, I'll keep going anyway. And there's people like that, headstrong people, no matter what, I'm going to do it. And you know, they'll get somewhere. They'll be bitter. They'll be angry. They'll find themselves alone. Here, he's saying, when you're weak, the power of Christ rests upon you. It's almost like a hand in a glove. It fits so perfectly. Let me ask you, are you weak this morning? Or are you, I can do it. Are you trying to force your way? Power rests on you. What power is that? It's that saving power. It's that power that rose Jesus from the grave. It's that same power that allows him to hear our voice and our supplication to incline our ear unto us. It's that same power that he says, come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's that same power that he says, that Paul says to the church of Philippi, my God shall supply all your need. It's the same power in the book of Revelation, where he says, I am the first and the last, the beginning, the end, the Alpha and the Omega. It rests upon us. And when we allow his power to rest upon us, he fits so perfectly in our life. This week, you're going to be going to come up to a situation where it's going to be your power or his. This week, your situation is going to be where you can either allow him to fit in your life or you can do things your own way. But as the choir and Miss Julianne sang, his strength is perfect. The grace is sufficient. It's daily. Not only that, but the power of Jesus Christ, how powerful it is. That rests upon you. See, the sufficiency brought Moses to Egypt. The completion allowed him to do pronounce all the plagues upon Egypt. But it was the power of Jesus Christ, that power that was able to move the Red Sea. We need is that sufficiency, that practical power. We need this perfect power. And when the time of struggle really hits, we need the power of Christ to rest upon us. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Heavenly Father,